hiring is really challenging. I know from experience, but I also know there is one place that you can go where hiring is simple, fast, and smart. A place where growing businesses connect to qualified candidates, and that place is ZipRecruiter.com/clones. With their powerful matching technology, ZipRecruiter scans thousands of resumes to find people with the right experience and invites them to apply to your job. As the applications come in, ZipRecruiter analyzes each one and spotlights the top candidates so you never miss a great match. ZipRecruiter is so effective that 80% of employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through their site within the very first day. With results like that, it is no wonder that ZipRecruiter is the highest-rated hiring site in America. And right now, my listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free at this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/clones. ZipRecruiter.com/clones, C-L-O-N-E-S. ZipRecruiter.com/clones. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. So, clones, how was the weekend? Hope you had a great one. What's going on? Welcome to the jungle. My name is Jim Rome, live on a Monday in the Quicken Loan Studios. Apply simply, understand fully, and mortgage confidently. Nice to have you here. All right, very busy day. Great show for you. Let's get it going. Telephone number is available, toll-free, wide open. Use it, 1-800-636-8686. Coming up next segment, a conversation with Buffalo Bills linebacker Lorenzo Alexander. So you want to get in early, hit me up right now. Lorenzo Alexander coming up next segment. Coming up next hour in studio, a Pac-12 network analyst, Yogi Roth. And in hour number two as well, a senior analyst with the NFL Network, Jeffrey Chediha. Third hour is wide open. So you know how this goes, right? Either you lay out and you wait for me to get you started with a few thoughts and a big topic off the top, or you start hitting us up right now. Call the program. Follow me on Twitter at Jim Rome. Email me at Rome, R-O-M-E, at habitate.com. I could start any number of places, but I want to start a Monday show with a Friday event. So if I'm starting a Monday program with something that happened on Friday, then you know it's got to be something a little bit different. And not just a topic, but a specific play. And not just a specific play, but a specific hit. So you know, if it's coming up more than 2 days after it happened, it had to be big. And it was. It was an enormous hit. Of course, I'm talking about Browns wide receiver Jarvis Landry looking to knock Bills rookie corner Taron Johnson the hell out. Now, if you did not see this on Friday, you're about to see it or about to hear it right now. And if you like seeing or hearing dudes get snot bubbled, you will not be disappointed. Cleveland had the ball on the Buffalo 4. They call a running play. That did not mean that Landry was going to take that play off. In fact, not even close. Go ahead and roll it.
From the Buffalo 4, Tyrod takes the snap, gives it to Hyde, breaks it outside, and there he goes! Touchdown, Browns! With a hop, skip, and a jump, he's into the end zone. Well, Carlos Hyde.
He got a great crackback block by Jarvis Landry.
What a beautiful drive by the Browns, Doug.
We got a Bill down, though, on the 2-yard line.
Right. Cleveland Browns Radio Network with that. Thank you very much. I mean, damn, have some. That was brutal. If you're watching this on CBS Sports Network, you know what I'm talking about. Or if you already saw that play, you know what I'm talking about. Landry comes flying in from outside the box, absolutely blows Johnson up. I mean, dude went down like he took a cannon blast. It was tough. It was physical. It was nasty. It was the type of shot that you normally do not see from wide receivers. Of course, the Bills will tell you it's the type of shot that you don't see from anybody other than dirty players. Because almost to a man, they thought that was a dirty shot. And they couldn't wait to tell you. I mentioned Lorenzo Alexander. He's going to be on the show next segment. He called it, quote, dirty. He said, quote, Landry, he's a good receiver, physical guy. But some of those plays that he has, Aaron Williams, Taron, I'm pretty sure he has some other ones. I just think they're dirty, end quote. And he was not alone. Micah Hyde called the play ridiculous.
To me, that's BS. You can't do that. All he had to do was get in position, screen them off. He doesn't have to come in and try to kill anybody.
Hey, look, I get that too. I mean, he could have done that. All he had to do was come in and screen him off. But that's not what he did. He just came in and tried to knock the guy the hell out. Listen, if you see your teammate get wrecked like that, you're going to be pissed. And Bills players will also remind you, this is not the first time that Landry has done something like that to one of their guys. Back in 2016, when Landry was with the Dolphins, he hit Aaron Williams with an illegal crackback block. And that left the safety with head and neck injuries. In fact, he never played again. That shot effectively ended Williams' career. So, yes, knowing that, and especially if you were on the field when that happened, I could see why Bills players would be angry with Landry. Now, Landry, for his part, says he's just playing the game. He's not doing anything other than his job.
You know, I pride myself on being a complete receiver, you know, and it takes, you know, those type of plays, obviously, making those type of blocks or just a block period, you know, to make sure that, you know, Carlos could get in or Duke, whoever's running the ball, or another receiver. It's important.
So which one is it? He makes it sound like he's just doing his job. The opposition makes it sound like, man, this guy's dirty. He's dirty and he's done it before. So again, what is it? Is that a clean block in a violent game or is that a dirty hit? Is that just a smart old school play and the rookie has to know to keep his head on a swivel? Or is that over the line? Is it on the line or is it over the line? And honestly, at this point, what is the line? Where is the line? Does anybody really even know at this point? Like, I'm not going to go all just put flags on these guys right here because I'm not sure that play doesn't deserve a flag. But the problem is, I really don't know what does and what doesn't deserve a flag these days, just as nobody even knows what's a catch and what's not a catch. I know this, though. I know this. I may not know what deserves a flag and what doesn't, but I do know the question is going to keep coming up. Just as I know that if I were a member of that Bills defense, I would be saying exactly the same thing that Alexander and Hyde are saying right now. Because when you see your teammate get blown up like that and there isn't even a flag, I'd be looking for a piece of the guy who did it and for a piece of the ref who didn't call it. In fact, if I played defense in the NFL right now, I would be bent. Because the biggest talking point the entire preseason has been the way defenders are using their helmets. Defensive players are getting flagged for what look like the most innocuous plays ever. But then you see a guy, one of your guys, get wrecked by a receiver, and there's nothing at all. There's no call whatsoever. If a defensive player did that, he's probably ejected. But a receiver does it, and the referee doesn't even flinch. I mean, it would almost make you feel like the officials and the league do not give a damn about defensive players and are there just to take care of offensive players. That's what defensive players are saying right now, and I'm not sure they're wrong. But here's the biggest problem of all. Football is a violent game. The league is trying to take some of the violence out of the game. It's trying to make the game safer. I understand that. I'm just not sure you can take violence out of an inherently violent game. It's like trying to take pitching out of baseball. It's just part of the game. The league is trying to change the game, but it sure doesn't sound or look like Landry is going to change with it. So where do you come out on this? Was it a dirty hit or was it just hard-nosed football? Dirty or people just reacting the way that they're reacting because they're not accustomed to seeing a wide receiver put another guy to sleep? Dirty or playing the game the way it was meant to be played? Dirty or a fair hard-nosed hit? Where do you come out? 1-800-636-8686. Toll free. Follow me on Twitter at Jim Rome. Also, email your response at Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. Other things that I want to get to, just as a heads up, you know I'm going to get there eventually. And when I do, I'm expecting you to handle this in a certain, I don't know, mature, responsible manner. I'm talking about the Ohio State and Herb and Zach Smith. I'm talking about that news report involving Zach Smith, Urban Meyer, and Ohio State football. I can't ignore it. I'm doing my best to ignore your reaction to it, but it's hard to ignore. Hard to ignore your reaction when it's about an assistant coach that might take down one of the best big-name coaches in the game and take him down by having allegedly sex toys delivered to the office, him taking pictures of his junk at the White House, him having sex with a staffer at the facility. I mean, really, Irv? This guy was worth all that. You were going to entrust this guy an anonymous assistant coach. You know, not a head coach to be, not even a coordinator, a wide receiver coach. You were going to entrust that guy with your rep, with your job, with your career. I mean, damn, Herb, really? I'll get to that a little bit later on. Also, my colleagues at CBS have come up with their anonymous coaches poll, which I love. And if guys don't have to put their name to it, you would imagine some of the things that they were saying, some of the lava that was being spewed. That's coming up later on. Rams v. Raiders. Number of stories coming out of that game. You know me, I am smack dab in the middle of SoCal, so I was watching that game with great interest. Number of things that were interesting, and almost none of it on the field. In fact, none of it on the field. It stands to reason, right? The two of these teams are going to get together and play each other in a few weeks. Why would either one of those coaches show the other coach anything at all? So nothing really that mattered happened on the field, but plenty happened off the field, which I will get to, too, later on. Another college football note. A little concerned about what I see in Stillwater or what I don't see. Mike Gundy's mullet. What happened to it? Where is it? There was power and magic in that mullet. Why would he take it down? But apparently he did. Let's check out Twitter really quickly. Once again, Lorenzo Alexander coming up next segment. Yogi Roth in studio next hour. Jeffrey Chidiha also coming up next hour. Ed Willie Beeman one tweets, that's the attitude the Browns have been lacking. Welcome to Cleveland, Jarvis. Not only that, but you saw him in the wide receiver room on Hard Knocks, F-bombing everybody in that room, and then he took it out there on the field and backed it all up. Again, hard-nosed hit, clean hit, or a dirty hit, and the type of thing this guy's known for, because he's done it to them before. And my feeling is I'd love to come out here and tell you exactly what it is, but even it's hard for me to know. I mean, what's dirty and what's not? What's going to be penalized and what's not? You know, in the NFL, if referees want to call holding on every single play, they could. With that new helmet rule, if they want to call a penalty, I mean, if a guy's leading with his helmet and that's deemed a penalty, they could call that on every single play too. And how about that crackback block? Was that a dirty hit or not? And was some unspoken rule violated? Should he have just screened out the player? Or if you're on a football field, is everybody's head on a swivel exhibition season or not? Or if you're on a football field with Jarvis Landry, should you not have a head on a swivel? Or is it dirty? This is from an emailer. Dear Jim, we absolutely agree with the wonderful changes that the NFL has made to soften the game and ensure safety for all participants. Cautiously yours, Wiffle Bats and Balls in MLB. A speed limit of 55 miles per hour in NASCAR. And full body bubble wrap and oversized oven mittens on all MMA combatants. Signed, Den Lusks. Nice and kind, emailer and tweeter. Yeah, I'm not sure they're trying to do that, Den Lusks. They're trying to make the game a little safer. But again, how can you make an inherently violent game less violent? I'm not sure you can. I know why they're trying. I'm just not sure that you can. All right, so where do you come out? I've laid that out for you. Now I want your thoughts. Coming up next segment, Bills linebacker Lorenzo Alexander. He made it pretty clear how he felt after the game. That conversation is next. Zipa. Your word is Zipa. Spell it. Z-Y-P-P-A-H. Happy Z spelled backwards. Now, if you go to bed with a Zipa, you're going to wake up with happy Z's. Did you know that one night of bad sleep can ruin your entire day? Are you planning a vacation this Labor Day weekend? You do not want to ruin the entire vacation with snoring all night long, because vacations are supposed to be a time of rest, relaxation, and recovery. You do not want to go back to work and be more tired than when you left. If you're snoring, you're not sleeping, and neither is anybody else around you. This is why you need to get a Zipa before you take that vacation. Zipa. If you know somebody who snores, go to Zipa.com right now, because Zipa is guaranteed to stop snoring. You've got nothing to lose. If you're not happy for any reason, return it and get a full refund. Snoring is rude. It's disrespectful. It's offensive. You do not want to ruin another vacation with snoring. So get yours today by going to Zipa.com and ensure that you have a great Labor Day weekend. Once again, Zipa.com.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
So far, so good. What's going on? Welcome back. I am Jim Rome. All right, so phone lines starting to fill up right now, but there is a line still available. Use it. 1-800-636-8686. I promised that we'd have a conversation with a player entering his 14th season, a linebacker for the Buffalo Bills, a two-time Pro Bowler, 2017 Walter Payton Man of the Year nominee, 73 tackles, 3 sacks, 3 forced fumbles last season, and the Bills are going to open up against Baltimore September 9th. That, of course, is a CBS game. Lorenzo Alexander is my guest. Lorenzo, good morning. Great to have you on. How are you?
I'm doing great, Jim. How you been doing?
Good, good, Lorenzo. Nice to have you back. Thanks so much. Let me start by saying for years, the question in Buffalo at this time was, could this be the year the playoff drought ends? You ended it last year, so we no longer ask that question. How much different do things feel in camp when you're coming off a playoff season?
You know, everything has been going great. I mean, I think Sean has done a great job of establishing a culture of winning around here, doing the little things right, fundamentals. And we really haven't even focused on what we accomplished last year. I mean, you know, you've been around this league long enough that it's hard to repeat in this league. And I think there was a stat he showed us earlier on this year that maybe 10 or 12 teams last year that made it weren't in the playoffs the year before. So we're not resting, you know, our hats on what we accomplished last year. I mean, we've had a lot of turnover internally anyway. Some coaches, obviously a lot of players are here that are new. So we have to recreate this thing all over. And we've really been just building the foundation and trying to get ready for ourselves to open up against Baltimore here in a couple of weeks.
That's September 9th. Lorenzo Alexander, my guest. You mentioned Sean. So, of course, last year also at this time, you had a new head coach and you had a new staff. So it would seem like maybe then there was a feeling out process as you try to figure out exactly how good you can be. How much has that part of it changed now that you've got a year with that coaching staff and that head coach? Now how good can you be?
Yeah, I mean, for me, especially defensively, we obviously have a new offensive coordinator. I know those guys on that side of the ball are going through a developmental period, kind of what we went through last year as a team collectively. Obviously, a young quarterback and that competition on that side of the ball is going through things. But defensively, it feels like we know who we are. We have a good nucleus coming back. We run the same type of scheme. Obviously, we've added a guy, Tremaine Edmonds, that's going to be the bell cow in the middle of our defense, along with some supporting cast with Star and then Trey outside and Micah and Jordan in the back end doing their thing. We have an expectation of being good this year. And obviously that's lip service at this time, but that's what we've really been doing and just concentrating on the fundamentals and doing the things and putting ourselves in position so that we can have the type of play we had last year minus that lull that we had in the middle of the season where it looked like we couldn't stop the run for nothing defensively. So, I know we can be good. I think guys understand that coming in, and that's the way we are approaching this season as we can be a top five and not trying to fill each other out. How can we be good? Can we not? We know we can. Now we have to go out there and back it up. And obviously that has to be preceded with great preparation in training camp and as we lead up to that first week.
Bills linebacker Lorenzo Alexander, my guest. So in Friday night's game against Cleveland, wide receiver Jarvis Landry hit your cornerback Taron Johnson with a pretty brutal block, right? You've talked about this. You said, quote, Landry, he's a good receiver, a physical guy, but some of those plays that he has, Aaron Williams, Taron, I'm pretty sure he's got some other ones. I just think they're dirty. Lorenzo, listen, you've played the game a long, long time. You would never say something like that lightly. What did you see on that play that made you feel like that was dirty?
You know, for me, I mean, it's an illegal play as it is anyway. You can't come back in and crack by a guy like that. He's done it multiple times, and I understand that he's being physical, right? But when you do that multiple times and knocking guys out, as a defender, especially in the league where it's all about player safety, and I guess my beef is probably more with the league as far as getting that out from an offensive side because it wasn't flagged, and it should have been. It's just hard to watch because it's guys, Aaron Williams' career, this could have easily ended a young guy who hasn't even started his career yet, and I just hate to see that. I mean, our game has changed. I understand it. Old school football train of thought, that's a great play. You got to have your head on a swivel, but we moved past that, and I've had to make an adjustment, and I think, you know, receivers, you know, physical ones, whatever you want to call it, need to do the same thing, and that needs to be taken out of our game if we really are worried about player safety. That's a play that shouldn't be allowed to happen. A guy shouldn't have to a 10, 15-yard running head start and come and knock a guy out.
Lorenzo Alexander joining us. You know, to that point, if there was no flag on that play, and there was no flag on that play, if a defensive player made a hit like that, how do you think the officials would have reacted? Would there have been an ejection?
You'd have been ejected. If I make a hit like that, I'm getting ejected from the game. hands down. There's no questions asked, and they would have been, you know, right to do so, and everybody would have backed it up. So I just think, and this is one of the discussions we always have in when we have the competition committees, and players always bring this up. It seems like there's a double standard, and the onus is always on a defensive player to make the right call, but you see offensive players do this consistently, and it's rarely called. I'm not going to say it's never called. It's rarely called, and they're not held to the same standards. So it's something that needs to be looked at, and I know it's hard for the refs to do it, but they need to be able to do it, especially when it's out in the open on the edge in that nature it was in our last game in Cleveland.
Bills linebacker Lorenzo Alexander joining us. All right, you mentioned your rookie quarterback, Josh Allen. He led three scoring drives in Friday's win.
Yeah.
What do you make of what you've seen from that rookie so far?
I like it. I think I made a comment earlier. I mean, he has my respect, but he's earning my trust. And I think that's the biggest thing when you have new guys, especially young guys, that you depended on. They look good in practice. You know, they're doing all the things the right way, but how are they going to respond in games? And for me to sit back and kind of watch him, his handle of the offense, be able to run a two-minute drill, have the awareness to, you know, time is running out. I think he sprints out, gets the first down, gets up, knows where to get the ball to the ref, gets everybody lined up, and is able to kill the clock to run another play is amazing to me, especially for a young guy to have that awareness. You know, another play in that same game last week, he gets pressure in his face, shrugs off a defender. Most guys, especially that has athleticism, take off and run. But he had the wherewithal to keep his eyes down the field and find Rod Streeter in the back for a touchdown. So he's showing me some great things. He's been hit physical. I mean, hit in the mouth and gets up and shrugs it off and has great confidence. So I'm very pleased at his growth and where he's going. Obviously, there's some technical things that he probably can work on, like every other player in this league, and he will develop that. But he's definitely going to be a guy that this organization can lay their hat on for a long time coming.
So safe to say you disagree with the criticism from Jalen Ramsey. In fact, what do you make of that criticism from him and everybody else about your quarterback?
Hey, I mean, that stuff is crazy. I mean, even Jalen Ramsey, just put him in that vacuum and everything that he said. I mean, he said Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady don't suck. So, I mean, you only can take what he said with a grain of salt. And knowing Jalen, he likes to talk, and that's who he is. And so you can't really lead in all that. He likes to do that and draw attention. That's, you know, the nature of being a DB in this league. But our quarterback, he's going to be good. I mean, everybody has his shortcomings, and he's going to work to overcome those and improve on his game. And that's why we have coaches here coaching him up and getting him right. And I definitely see his growth from OTAs to now. And to me, he looks like he is, you know, just has that confidence and has that it factor that star players normally have in this league.
Lorenzo Alexander is showing up like he always does on the program. Listen, you signed with the Bills back in 2016, and at that point you'd played for a number of organizations, but it feels like you have really found a home in Buffalo. Did you have any idea how special that this place would be when you first arrived?
No clue. I mean, all I knew it was cold, and I really didn't want to be up here, but obviously I fell in love with the fan base. Really the grit that this city celebrates is, you know, it's all what I'm about as a football player. I'm not the most talented, but I'm going to go out there, I'm going to be prepared, I'm going to know my keys, and I'm going to fly around and play physical all game. And that's really what this city embodies and how they've overcome a lot of, obviously, the financial shortcomings and stuff that has happened up here to this city. And it's just starting to grow, and it's very vibrant, and the people are passionate, and I just really love being in this community.
Listen, if I told you back in 2005, after you were not drafted, that you would still be playing in your 14th season, what would you have said to me then?
You're lying. You know, you're crazy. I was just trying to, you know, scratch and claw and find the opportunity. And actually, at that time, I was thinking about shutting it down anyway, you know, being cut a couple of times. You know, I had my Cal degree. I'm like, hey, maybe I could go into business and do something else. So it definitely wasn't on my mind, and I would have said you was crazy.
Hey, listen, one last thought. You mentioned Tremaine Edmonds, and you've been working a lot with him in camp. When you were asked about it, you said it was, quote, a privilege and a blessing to be able to work with him. What do you mean by that? Why is that so important to you?
You know, it's just, you know, first of all, it's a privilege to be in this league this long and have accumulated the knowledge and to be around the men that I've been around, from London Fletcher to Mike Sellers to a ton of guys, Larry Fitzgerald, and go on and on. And to get knowledge from them, and now be able to pass along that wisdom and pay it forward to the next generation and Tremaine and give him tidbits so that he can become the player and the man that he can be, and then eventually do the same thing. Just to be a part of that process is truly a blessing, because everybody wants to be able to do this job that we do, you know, play on Sundays, the relationships that we build, and just to be a part of it, I'm never going to take that for granted, because I've been on the outside looking in. I've been cut, you know, I've been told you're not good enough, but to be able to overcome all that and be a part of this still at, you know, 35 years old is truly a blessing.
No, it is. An amazing story, too. 14 years in, a two-time Pro Bowler, 2017 Walter Payton Man of the Year nominee, and you got the Bills opening up against Baltimore on September 9th. Lorenzo, appreciate you very much, and always good to have you on this show. Thanks for getting us started today.
I appreciate you, Jim.
Have a great day, Lorenzo. Thank you. Appreciate you very much. 14 years in, he was undrafted. Bills Mafia, I know you're fired up hearing that. Your reaction to it, and he's not pulling any punches. He said, listen, the game is changing. The game is changing. I understand the old school has got their thought, head on a swivel. It's good hard-nosed football. But his point is, the game is changing. The referees are calling it differently. And whereas that play back in the day may have been good hard-nosed football, now it's not. He said Jarvis Landry ended a guy's career with a hit like that a couple of years back, and he could have ended another guy's career just as it was starting. Is it that, or is that football? And can you take that out of the game? All right, we'll take a break. Phone lines. Well, actually, one phone line is open. Everybody else has jammed them full. 1-800-636-8686. Yogi Roth coming up in studio next hour. Jeffrey Chidiha next hour. And Herb. We were waiting on the conclusion of the investigation from The Ohio State, allegedly yesterday. Now what? With the latest part of that report that dropped, now what? And is there any more where that came from? My thoughts on that when we come back. But first, here is a sports update on a busy Monday morning.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
You got to know, we start the week every single week with an ATP Ask the Pros, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Go to CBSSportsRadio.com/AskThePros. Submit a question. I will answer one of them later on. And always remember, think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices. Excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. This email reads, Dear Jim, or actually maybe I should read it like this. Dear Jim! Of course the headshot by Landry was dirty. But the big problem is nobody on the Bills sought revenge afterwards, especially considering Landry's history. What's missing from this Bills team is a nasty attitude. Maybe I should join the coaching staff. Rick in Buffalo. Boy, Rick, that's not easy. Maybe you should join the team. Never mind the staff. If doing Hacksaw takes a year off my life every time I do it, doing Rick in Buffalo takes five off my life. Dear Jim! How did I do, Alvin? Give me some. Give me a taste. Dear Jim, of course the headshot by Landry was dirty. But the big problem is nobody on the Bills sought revenge. Rick in Buffalo. Anytime you want to find some Rick to juxtapose against my impersonation of Rick, Alvin would be great. Meantime, this next topic is going to come with some adult content, which makes it really tricky because often I'm not talking to adults. It's an adult show, but y'all don't act like it. Now, I actually hesitate to even bring this up because I know what you dopes do with subjects of this matter. I know you cannot handle it in a mature and sensitive manner. I just know it. But it is part of a news report about Zach Smith, Urban Meyer, and The Ohio State University. So it's not like I can ignore it. But what I can ignore and what I will ignore is your idiotic comments that are sure to follow. So I will only take your comments, your tweets, your emails, your phone calls if they're appropriate, if they're mature, and if you can address the issues at matter responsibly. In other words, what this is a giant trust fall. I trust that you will probably fail. But even so, I can't ignore the story. It's news. So I'm just going to jump right in because it is news. Let me start with the headline of Brett McMurphy's article on WatchStadium.com. It reads, and these are their words, not mine. Quote, Zach Smith ordered sex toys to Ohio State offices, had sex with staffer, took nude photos at White House. All right, then, I guess we're done here. Shut it down. Let's go home. Dirk sounds like Rick in Buffalo now.
Shut it down. Let's go home.
Just when you think there's no way this story can get any more weird, any creepier, any more bizarre, here comes a headline which includes sex toys, sex with a staffer, and nude pics at the White House. Do I have your attention now? How's that for a headline? Total insanity. It's like a Mad Libs jumble of things I never thought that I'd be saying about a college football assistant coach, but probably should have known better. Why don't we start with the first sentence of the article? Documents and receipts Stadium has obtained show Zach Smith ordered more than $2,200 in sex toys, male apparel, and photography equipment, and had the items delivered to him at Ohio State's Woody Hayes Athletic Center in 2015. Awesome. All right, then a few sentences later, you get this one from the football coach's ex-wife. Courtney Smith said Zach Smith took multiple photos of his penis inside the Ohio State coaches' offices, inside the White House when the Buckeyes visited in 2015, and also photographed himself in the coaches' offices receiving oral sex and having sex with an OSU staffer, end quote. I mean, damn, there is so much going on in that sentence. I don't even know where to start. This dude was just rolling around the Woody Hayes Athletic Center taking photos of his junk. And then did the same thing at the White House. What the hell is wrong with this guy? And who goes to the White House to celebrate a national championship and says, hey, you know what would be great? I need a picture. Not with the president, but with my junk. Me and my junk. Here's a picture of my penis. What a scumbag. Are you kidding? Look, I'm not normally into judging what other people are into. I mean, whatever you're into, whatever you do behind closed doors, as long as it's consensual and it's not hurting anybody else, it's none of my business. I don't care. But when you're allegedly roaming the football facility, taking photos of your package, then a line has been crossed. And then when you're doing it at the White House, I have got some serious questions. And that's before we get to him allegedly having sex with an Ohio State staffer in the coach's offices and then photographing that too. I've got a question. How the hell did this guy have any time to coach? Hey, Bob Crane, put down the camera, pick up a whiteboard. Maybe draw up a few plays instead of snapping off a few more picks. The article goes on to list some of the items that Smith allegedly ordered and included screenshots of the order confirmations along with his name and the shipping address to the Woody Hayes Athletic Center. Now, I could read the list of items, but I'm not going to because I know exactly, or I'm not exactly sure what I can and what I cannot say on the air. But let's just say that there were a number of devices and contraptions with names that include words like lifter, suspenders, harness. Again, this dude's an adult. He can buy whatever the hell he wants. But why the hell is he having it all shipped to the football offices? Have it shipped to your house. And if for some reason you don't want to do that or you can't do that, get yourself a post office box. Do not ship it to work. Don't ship it to the office unless that's part of the thrill. And in this guy's case, it probably was. I'm really above all these questions, many of which will never get answered. There still remains a single question. Why the hell did Urban Meyer keep that guy around? And a follow-up question. What the hell? Seriously, what the hell was going on there? I'm not saying that Urban Meyer needs to be working in the mailroom at Woody Hayes Center, sorting out the boxes and looking for things like lifters, suspenders, harnesses. But damn, man, how do you not know that all of that's going on? Literally right under your nose. Again, order sex toys to your office. You know, that might not be a fireable offense unto itself, but where does allegedly having sex with a team staffer in the same football offices fall on that spectrum? And then where does photographing your junk at the White House fall? I ask because I don't know. But then again, I don't have to know. Not my house. Urban Meyer, on the other hand, does have to know. And for some reason, he didn't. Or he knew and didn't give a damn. But the more this goes on, the less acceptable the answer is. Because these questions are minor compared to the alleged domestic violence incidents that Smith was linked to. And it all comes back to one question. Why the hell was this guy on Meyer's staff? What does this guy know that couldn't be replaced? He was a wide receiver coach. A wide receiver coach. An assistant coach who never got promoted anywhere near head coach. What the hell was Meyer doing protecting this guy and entrusting his career and his rep to him? Dumbest thing ever. Dumbest thing ever by the alleged smartest guy ever. Because right now I'm having a hard time figuring out what justification he had for coaching. Hell, I'm not even sure this guy had time to coach. What with all the mail he was getting? What with all the picks he was taking? Yeah, I'm not even looking for answers from Zach Smith. I mean, this guy was a dirtbag. I don't need answers from him. I do need answers from Herb. And so far, his answers have been pretty weak. And by weak, I mean he's got none. And a couple of lies. Man, this guy could not look any more like a hypocrite than he does right now. And you have to wonder how much more there is that we don't know about. What's next? Does Brett McMurphy have more? Is he going to release a little bit of this day by day? We were waiting for the results of the investigation yesterday, and now we don't have that because there's more news. And it looks worse and worse and worse. But then again, can it really get any worse? Any worse than that same staffer having sex at the facility, getting sex toys delivered to the facility, and taking pictures of his junk at the facility in the White House? What could be worse than that? I don't know. I can't wait to find out, though. 1-800-636-8686. Well, one more thing about Ohio State. They won a hell of a lot of football games before this guy. They should win a lot of football games after this guy. They ran Woody Hayes off. They ran Jim Tressel off. They could get Herb, too. And again, let's never forget, you want to talk about a hypocrite. Let's never forget that Herb was the guy who showed up at Ohio State and said, you know, man, I've got some real concerns about the state of college football. That's rich. This guy had 31 arrests at Florida, but he had concerns about the state of college football. Herb, you are the state of college football. Anybody want to weigh in on this? Better question. I know you want to weigh in on this. Can you weigh in on this responsibly? I put the question to you, Adam Hawk. That's a big stack of paper right there. If you were me, would you read any of it? Or would you read any of it on air? Especially given who brought it to me and screened it. Hey, Hawk, you might not be fat anymore, but you're still pretty dumb. Let's find out. Hey, Jim, what do you mean, handle it in a sensitive manner? A toy is a toy, signed Zach Smith. Mike in Buffalo, helping him. A toy is a toy, and a sex toy is a sex toy. And this guy had them delivered to the office. What the hell is that? Yeah, but Rome, he wasn't using them with his wife. He couldn't have them delivered to his house. Fine. P.O. box. Something. Something other than the Woody Hayes athletic complex. I'm sure Woody would be very proud. Hey, again, I don't know. We have no idea what goes on. Quote, we don't really know any of these guys. I feel pretty safe in assuming that Woody Hayes never hit up Amazon for sex toys. I feel pretty safe in assuming that Woody Hayes never hit up Amazon for harnesses or suspenders. I feel pretty safe in saying that Woody Hayes never turned his iPhone on his junk. Hey, Rome. The investigation was about to be complete until a large quantity of, quote, rubadongas showed up at the practice facility. They were addressed to Not Z. Smith. And needless to say, we are still investigating who these could possibly be. For yours, The Ohio State University, Aaron in Omaha. This email just says, well, here comes another heart attack for Herb. Matt in Tucson, isn't that true too? Had to step away from the game. Had to step away from the game to do what's best for myself, my well-being, and my family. Ohio, yes! Ohio State, yes! Hey, Herb, this is Ohio, yes! What about your heart? What about it? Johnny Scab tweets, Jimmy, age appropriate? Brad won the smack off with a picture of a dude on his package. Fair. I'll allow that. Fair point. All right, so second hour is a busy hour. I've got Yogi Roth in studio next hour. I've got Jeffrey Chidiha right after that. And the first segment of the next hour is open. So if you want to call the show, you want to do it right now. 1-800-636-8686. Hour number two, straight ahead.